Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
All the churches in Mosul are closed, and with the imposition now of a very strict Islamic law inside Mosul, it's looking increasingly unlikely that they'll be able to return anytime soon.
When Christian churches move to dealing with social causes, when you've lost the gospel, you have nothing unusual to offer.
Look what he did with Joseph. Look what he did with Jesus. And then consider what he can do also with you, because God specializes in raising the dead.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love Issues Etc. Bye.
It was not that long ago, I can remember it, maybe 30, 40 years ago, when the disparity between media coverage inside what's now the former Soviet Union and the Western world was great, and everyone recognized it and pretty much understood the lay of the land. Inside the former Soviet Union, media coverage was largely propagandistic. It was aimed at the population there, both as a filter and as a way of reinterpreting the worldview that was communism for the people there. It wasn't altogether truthful, and a lot of things were left out. It seems as though, well, in some ways, not to that degree, but in some ways, the tables have turned. We're seeing things being covered within the former Soviet Union, now Russia. Things mattering that deal with the matters of religion that aren't making it into the same stories being covered by the Western press. And there are two examples of that just today. We'll be talking about them in the first 20 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. with George Conger of GetReligion.org. Media coverage of the religious roots of the conflict between Russia and the West, and also the death of the last communist leader of Poland and how that was covered inside and outside both of those media outlets. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Welcome back for Hour 2 on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 18th. George Conger will join us a little bit later. Dr. Victor Raj will answer some questions pertaining to two PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly stories on Hinduism. Then we're going to get an update on the devastating damage done by a series of tornadoes, two tornadoes that hit Pilger, Nebraska. Pastor Terry Makelin of St. John Lutheran Church there in Pilger will talk about it, both his parsonage and his church's building, along with, well, pretty much the rest of the town completely destroyed by those storms. It's coming up a little bit later in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. George Conger is a regular guest. He formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
You have noticed a discrepancy of a different color between how world affairs, and in particular a speech given by the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov on June 4th, was covered by TASS, and how it's being covered by the Western press. What is it?
Well, the Western press didn't even cover it at all. Sergei Lavrov, who's the Russian foreign minister, Vladimir Putin's right-hand man, the man who's been the point man on the whole conflict with Ukraine, gave a speech where he outlined what is the ideological reasons for our going into the Ukraine. Why are we at odds with the West right now? And this speech was not reported at all in the English-language media, except for TASS, which is the old Soviet news agency. TASS put out two stories, one in English and one in Russian. The English language version they sort of crafted for the American media market, and it was what I would call foreign policy wonkery, where it rather dull stuff about conflict of state interests, things of this nature. But if you read the Russian press accounts in TASS, as well as in other Russian news outlets, Lavrov makes it quite clear that the conflict between Russia and the West is not over politics. It's not a replay of the Cold War. Russia sees itself as being a force for the Christianization of Europe. And it believes that the return to orthodoxy of Russia, its role as a civilizing force in the world today, is being attacked by the anti-Christian West, which includes the United States. So in other words, Russia is engaged in a holy crusade against godless atheism, except this time around, we Americans and the Europeans are the godless atheists.
Okay, so what accounts for this? I mean, it is almost unthinkable. Of course, it shouldn't be, because we've heard this again and again and again, that a Russian foreign minister would say something like, well, you know, Russia is returning to the traditional values that are found in the Orthodox Christian faith. What's driving the lack of – that's a story. That's a huge story. That's a story of the year, or perhaps of the decade, for a foreign minister to say that from Russia. What's driving the lack of coverage of that in the Western press?
Well, you got me. I just don't know. I mean, the speech was translated into English, so you don't have to be a Kremlinologist to be able to pick it up. You can read the speech for yourself. But I just think our foreign policy elites are so clueless about the role of religion in foreign policy crises that they just don't get it. Now, there was a story in the Press Gazette, which is the British trade journal for reporters, by a man who had the BBC Sunday Show, which is the radio program on Sunday morning of church of religion news. And he has just left his job after 30 years, and they're sort of winding down the religion program. And his complaint was the BBC just does a terrible job in reporting the religious aspects of conflict, be it the recent Kenyan bombings where the killers came in and asked men, you know, recite a verse from the Quran, and if you can, you'll live, if you can't, you'll die. All the BBC would talk about is killers came in and killed people. No religion aspect to that. Or in Russia, Vladimir Putin truly, honestly, earnestly believes, if you listen to what he says, that Russia is the third Jerusalem, is the third Rome. After Rome, Byzantium, and now Moscow. And this is an ideology that goes back to the Tsars. Let me give you a little bit of a... I think your audience knows who Alexander Solzhenitsyn is, the great Russian novelist, the survivor of the Gulag, the fiercest critic in the West from Russia of communism. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, before his death, was an ardent supporter of a former KGB agent, Vladimir Putin. Now, what does that tell you? Does it tell you that Alexander Solzhenitsyn went dotty in his old age? Or did he see in Putin an expression of a deep sense of Christian mission that infuses all of Solzhenitsyn's work? This is a topsy-turvy world we're talking about now. Yet nobody, except for the Russian press, is picking this up, and religious outlets in the United States. And as the reason why, you got me. I just can't explain it.
Could it be just as simple as the Cold War template is still has yet to find a decent replacement in American or Western newsrooms? And the Cold War template is well known. Godless communism. That's how we understand this. And the fact that Putin is a former KGB agent, we'll ever forever brand him that way. Maybe is it that reporters in the newsroom simply can't believe that Putin or his foreign minister have religious sensibilities?
That very well could be. They just don't believe it, and they don't want to give credence to what they think is a lie. That could be it. Part of this Christian sense of identity, Putin is not a nice guy. Please don't hear me to say that this is Martin Luther King or George Washington reborn in Moscow today. Putin may be doing this because he sees this is the way the country is going. Maybe he's a good politician. He wouldn't be where he is today without having the instincts to know where Russia is going. But for Vladimir Putin, he is the arguments he has against the West is that the Western democratic system is producing a handful of Bill Gates and a lot of people living hand-to-mouth. And that is not the way the world should work. That the very, very rich, who are very liberal and very anti-Christian in their worldviews, are imposing upon countries like Russia and countries in Africa, for instance, the homosexual agenda. Meaning the President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry will go and give speeches about how Ghana or Cameroon or Russia should change their understanding of the sanctity of marriage, and they wonder why these traditionally religious-based cultures in Africa and in Russia today go ballistic when they're told that they're ignorant savages that just don't understand the latest, greatest intellectual craze. I really don't understand how our State Department, how our press, how our foreign policy establishment is just so blind to these repeated statements of religious sentiment. We have the leaders of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Cyril, for instance, getting involved now, saying that Russia needs to stand fast against the forces of Catholicism and atheism. Those are major statements by the leaders of the largest Orthodox Church in the world. Yet outside the religious press, we don't hear it. It doesn't seem to register any bells.
George Conger is our guest. He's former British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. When we come back, we'll turn to another story. Media coverage of the last communist leader, his death as a Christian. Stay tuned.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacobi Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300.
I like the subtitle of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, How I Learned to Ignore the World's Expectations and Trust God. The book's called Hello, My Name is Single. It's written for people who are single, who have been single, who may in the future be single. It's a godly vocation. Sometimes it lasts a lifetime. Sometimes it's temporary. What are the challenges of singles, especially in the life of the church? That's just one of the questions answered in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. Hello, My Name is Single by Adrian Dore Hines. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order Hello, My Name is Single, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. George Conger is our guest for another 10 minutes or so. We're talking about media coverage of several stories dealing with communism, turning to the story of the death of the last communist leader in Poland. George, what was missing from the coverage, at least on the Western side of the press, on that particular story?
Well, the New York Times sent a reporter to cover the funeral of Wojciech Jaruzelski. And the reporter noted that Jaruzelski, who was a general in the Polish army who imposed martial law in 1981 and cracked down on Solidarity and basically was a lockstep stooge of Moscow's Communist Party, he died. And at the funeral, there were three former presidents, including Lech Wałęsa. And he noticed, and the article basically focused on there were political antagonisms to giving Jaruzelski a state funeral and then burying him in a cemetery reserved for veterans of the Second World War. What the New York Times failed to mention was what dominated the Polish press the week from his death to his funeral, which is that Jaruzelski was being given a Catholic funeral with a Catholic mass. And it was revealed that 10 days before he died, Jaruzelski was received back into the Catholic Church that he was baptized in the 1920s. That here's the last communist leader, a man who persecuted the church, persecuted democracy, on his deathbed, says, "I believe, and forgive my unbelief." None of that appeared in the New York Times. None of the arguments about, well, do we believe him? Can a person really be forgiven and be allowed a church burial upon confessing his sin and in the Catholic system, making confession, receiving absolution, and receiving Holy Communion? This was a major issue in Moscow, in Poland, and the people were protesting. Yes, this man was a communist, but should our church, the church that this man be persecuting, welcome a sinner and bury him in consecrated grounds? New York Times, what did it tell us about that? Nothing.
What did they talk about? Did they talk about it as a state funeral? Broaching that issue, how did they report it?
Well, they mentioned that this funeral was being held in a cathedral, and the Catholic bishop for the Polish army conducted the service, and it noted that Jaruzelski would not have attended the service in the past because it included a Catholic mass, and he was an atheist. And it says, oh, by the way, he was an atheist when he would attend prior state funerals in the post-communist era, but it... And then, and he was given a church funeral. Now, there's a jump there that they didn't quite seem to understand. It noted the political protests. It noted people complained that this was a man who ended democracy, who cracked down on Solidarity movement. And it quoted Lech Wałęsa saying that I only came because there was a mass, and I'll let God judge the soul of Wojciech Jaruzelski. All great lines. But it never connected the dots between an atheist, a communist, being given a church funeral. And to me, it may just be me, but for me to hear that some, let's say the leader of North Korea dies tomorrow, and all of a sudden we find that his burial service, he's being given, he's being buried in the Presbyterian Church. Now, I would want to know what happened. That would make a communist tyrant want to become a Presbyterian, or a Polish tyrant want to become a Catholic.
So essentially you're saying the fascinating aspect of this story was not just the facts that were omitted from, strangely omitted from, the New York Times coverage, and they're not alone, you say, in that, but also there's a story there, the path that led this man back ostensibly to the church after being... probably in Poland's memory, the most notorious enemy of the church.
Correct. See, Wojciech Jaruzelski was a soldier in the Second World War when the Germans attacked on September 1st, 1939, and 10 days later the Russians attacked from the opposite direction. And Jaruzelski was taken prisoner by the Russians. Now, the Russians, the Polish officers who survived the Gulag that first year, they were released to go fight in Italy in what was called the Anders Army. Jaruzelski made an affirmative decision to stay and join Stalin's army. And he became a communist in 1942. He was a traitor in the eyes of most Polish nationalists, most Polish Catholics, going back to the Stalin era. He was in the Soviet army. He was a Soviet general. He did all these things. And yet, at the very end of his life, he gave up his belief in history. He gave up his belief in Stalin and turned to Jesus Christ. And to me, that speaks to the change that is Poland post-1989, a society that went from being outwardly Catholic, outwardly communist, to now the most Catholic nation in Europe. And, yeah, it's nice to report on the funeral of a president and sort of fill out four or five paragraphs of who was there and who liked him and who didn't like him. But when you've got a story that, to me, frankly, would make a great movie, would make a great novel, what occurred in this man's life to ask him to seek God in the very end after having invested his whole adult life in Stalin?
And
this happened last month. We're not talking history. This happened last month.
And it's not as though it couldn't even be told in the greater context. You just mentioned it there, of the almost unbreakable association between being Polish and being Catholic, even if it was just told as a story of a man's return to his true Polish identity.
Mm-hmm. We don't see that, and that. The theme that I really tried to press in as best I could was that there are so many great stories out there that aren't being covered and questions aren't being asked. And I don't think that the New York Times, the reporter the New York Times sent to Poland, is anti-religious or anti-Catholic or any. I don't think there's any negative things there. I just think that he just doesn't understand the issues that are swimming around him. And so he picks the things that are immediately recognizable, crams them into a six-paragraph story, which he's writing for an elite in Manhattan that's not particularly interested in the church anyway. Yet for the rest of America, this is, if you will, the paper of record, and we don't know any better. What a great story, and what a lost opportunity.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thanks for being our guest.